You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
People act like they get paid in being offended. Have you noticed this?
I think some people
What? I haven't been offended by anything today. I need to find something to get offended by.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
So Space Force, they have, Space Force, right? You're the military. And the military is supposed to be focusing on military stuff, right? Let's just, let's just be very simplistic in the way that we discuss this. If you're with Space Force, you're dealing with how to make the United States a very capable and a very capable and strong entity, and you are making sure you're solidifying our positions. And we have said, I know we're not going to the moon yet, but you got to start from somewhere. It's smart to have that, particularly when you have satellite compromises, all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. You guys know what I'm talking about. So I would just think that if you're going to create something, when you're creating the military, you're going to focus on the military's number one job, which is, ladies and gentlemen, and you can get mad for my Portuguese, but I am not PBS and I am not Big Bear in the Big Blue House. I'm not here to entertain anybody's kids. The job of the military is to kick ass. That's the job of the military. It's like, what is that one movie with Roddy Piper, and he shows up and he's like, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. That's the military, but they never say anything about bubblegum. They're not there to be best friends. They're not there to be nice and kittens and sunshine and rainbows and sparkle and, confetti. It's not that. They're there to handle some stuff, right? That's their job. What is your job? Well, I'm in the military. What does the military do? We handle some stuff. That's the job, right? That's it. Just to be very simple about it. It is not a social experiment. It is about going there, getting the job done. There's obviously the structural hierarchy for the purpose of unity and to become a great fighting force. Again, and this is like the fifth time I think I've gone back to this in the past 2 weeks. I just want to go back to that one letter that George Washington wrote to John Hancock. And I'm taking liberty with this because he didn't speak like Gen Z Hospital, Michael Shea script. But I am fascinated by that, and we're bringing that back. He's writing Hancock, and he's like, dude, these colonists are so stubborn and incorrigible. It's ridiculous. It's so ridic. And Hancock's like, why, George? Why is it so ridic? And he's like, man, it's because they are so sus of everything, right? They just don't want to be one unified force. They are so individualistic, and they don't want to take orders, and they don't want to listen to anybody, and they just want to go off and fight everything. And Hancock's like, yeah, that's a great spirit to have, though, in a fighter. And George is like, true, yo, it is. But the point being is that the military was created so that every single part forms together as one whole. One butt-kicking whole. That's what it is. So that's how it works. So now people are doing all kinds of stuff. Like, even targeting the military is a social experiment. I'm going to make this as clear as possible without passing shade on anyone or anything. Nobody cares what you do. Nobody cares what you do in your private life. Nobody cares if you listen to disco. No one cares if you're a foodie. No one cares if you enjoy eating chia goo pudding on the weekends. Nobody cares if you like blue hair. Nobody cares who you date or who you go to bed with. Nobody cares because it's the military. The only thing that matters is, can you TCB? That's it. Can you? Yes or no? There aren't no, well, I can, but also I really need to express myself. No one cares. Just go and be a fighting force. No one cares. There isn't an asterisk that says, well, yes, I can, but I also really think it's very important that you understand who I identify as. Nobody cares who you identify as. Can you TCB? That's it. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to care about pronouns on the battlefield. Nobody's going to care about anything else. Can you TCB? When you are not TCBing, then you can do all whatever you like. But it's partly to save your life and the life of others as to why we don't entertain all this stuff as a social experiment in the military. The same people that sit here and complain about loss of life, I'll be damned, they are sure quick to implement stuff that contribute to it, aren't they? You get out there and you get distracted about everything else, instead of and I mean, are we actually training? Are we? Because I know in the Pacific we have been losing war games. So what about everywhere else? Instead, we're sitting here focusing on all these other issues that are seem to be taking away focus from being a fighting force. And the optics are heinous. Anyway, to my point, Space Force. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, he is the commander of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base, Colorado. He was relieved from duty over a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. And what, pray tell, caused this loss of confidence in his ability to lead? They said that it was based on public comments that he made in a recent podcast. And they were trying to determine whether or not those comments constituted prohibited partisan activity. They said that his temporary assignment in the wake of his removal was not made immediately clear. But he sat down next week with some podcast to promote a book. It's a self-published book that's titled, and he's a former instructor and fighter pilot. He transferred into Space Force. It's called Irresistible Revolution, Marxism's Goal and Conquest, Goal of Conquest and Unmaking of the American Military. And he's an active duty Space Force lieutenant colonel. He sees the impact of a neo-Marxist agenda at ground level with our armed forces. Now, here's the thing. He didn't criticize anybody in the book. He didn't criticize. I understand that when you're active duty, you have to refrain from getting involved in certain things. I get that. And I think some of that comes into play here. Let's be real. Some of that comes into play here. However, shouldn't you, whether you're active duty or retired, talk about how have the freedom to discuss how badly communism sucks? Yes. That's where I get hung up. Now, he took great care to not criticize, from what I understand, what I've been reading from reports, to not criticize anybody in leadership or anything, you know, of that respect. No, he didn't publicly identify anybody or criticize anybody singularly. He focused on the policies that service members must adhere to. Now, my friend Tim Kennedy, who's active duty, was on my program. And he was talking about communism and the wokeness that they're experimenting with in the military as it relates to CRT. Is it because he's special forces? I don't know. But he talked about it. He didn't criticize. He didn't do anything that this guy didn't. And this guy didn't do anything that Kennedy didn't do. I mean, he criticized those policies. This is where I have a problem. Now, if he had gone and talked about, well, you know, and this is how it, and got very personal instead of just doing like a 30,000 foot critique, essentially, of communism and its negative impact on military practice, I mean, you'd have to be consistent. I mean, when you're active duty, there's certain things that you can't do, be it conservative or Marxist Democrat. There's just certain things that you can't do. There's certain, you just have to, and that's just the way it is. And I agree with that. And that's old school. That's not new school, that's old school. But it's always been old school that you could talk about how much you dislike commies, because that's literally an American pastime. I mean, in fact, I think that's like one of the first phrases that children learn when they talk, right? I mean, that's one of the things that unites people, whether they're in this country or elsewhere. Dislike of communism is like one of the main things of common ground that free people everywhere enjoy. And so that's, doesn't seem like this guy did anything differently. And I really looked, because I'm like, well, I don't want to sit here and say that the guy's innocent and then he said something stupid and, you know. And so, I mean, I looked and looked and looked, and I haven't read his book, as I don't have it. I don't think it's, I think it's like a pre-order thing or something. But, and apparently he even consulted, I don't know if he consulted his chain of command, but DOD policies that you run it, when you're coming out with a book, you have to run it past it, like Jack Carr. My friend who's doing the series that Chris Pratt's in for Amazon Prime, his first book that he came out with, and he's retired now from Special Forces. He was a Navy SEAL. He had to run his first book past DOD, and they had to go through everything, and it took a really long time. And in fact, he kind of had to, like, you know, ask some folks about, you know, why is it taking such a long time, so that they could get that book out. And so that they all have to do that. My friend Marcus Luttrell, when he wrote Lone Survivor, when he came out with that, that had to go through DOD. That all has to be reviewed. So the idea that this guy said something that was so bad and nobody caught it until now is just not possible. And I, to me, because he had said, you know, we just don't have a voice anymore. And this guy, you know, he's he went to Air Command and Staff College, and he's talked about you know, military's role and geosynchronous Earth orbit and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's, you know, he's a nice guy, but he also sounds like a total nerd. But he was discussing, you know, the Marxism's impact. And remember what it was that I was telling you about, where it concerns the incorrigibility of the colonists, and Washington was, you know, wanted to make sure everybody could act as a fighting force. When you're introducing Marxist theory into the military, and you are rebuilding how the military functions as a fighting unit, that is a threat to the success and safety of that unit, because you are focusing on a non-military strategy, and you are incorporating failed theory that has failed everywhere else that it's been tried, and you are diverting attention and resources from focusing on making it a TCB-1 fighting force to this. And that's what he's talking about. So this is, I mean, we don't need to wussify the military. We really don't. And I am very, very concerned, because there have been all these stories about some of these new policies. And I've had friends, dear friends of mine, who've retired, who could have pursued and were going to and planning on pursuing long careers in the military, that retired because they saw this coming. And some of them are very well-known names. And they said, we can't, because we see this stuff coming down the road, and we're not doing it. Just saying. It's serious. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America, in a true family culture that embraces every employee, and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So Biden has approved a $735 million arms deal with Israel. And the details of this, it just came this morning. I'm sure that makes Hamas angry. I hope it includes missiles for the Iron Dome. I don't know. Because there's been actually over 3,000 rockets that apparently went out from Hamas just over last week. And they had another barrage that was going yesterday as well. So the new arms deal, I don't know all of the details with it, but it was approved this morning. It is an arms deal worth $735 million. So Israel is acquiring from the United States a number of missiles and other special munition capabilities. So, I mean, that's a good move. And I don't think that Biden would have been in a position. I don't think that he would have not done it, not approved it. He's never been, I will say this of Biden, he's never been anti-Israeli defense like some of his other Democrats are, clearly. Both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines remain active against India variants. This has been one of the big questions in the wake of this development with regards to that India variant, which is so you couldn't say the Wuhan coronavirus, but you can say the Indian variant, apparently, FYI. So that's been, I think, what, only 3% of their population has been vaccinated. 10% have received one of a two-dose series. And one of the things that they've learned from this study that they've done as quickly as they could, this came out from New York University, is that some of the new variants described in India evade, to some degree, the antibodies of patients who've recovered from the infection, convalescent plasma. But they say both the antibodies and those derived from fully vaccinated people still appear to function, at least in laboratory settings. And they said that there's some wiggle room, but they still are effective against the coronavirus and that strain, that particular strain from India. Walmart tells fully vaccinated workers starting Tuesday that they can be mask-free if they are vaccinated. Customers can lose masks on Friday. Costco has done the same thing, and there were a couple of other places that have also. And can you believe it? Saturday Night Live mocked Dr. Fauci as the patron saint of Purell. They really? So let's play Is It Real or Fake with cancel culture. Let's do so now.
Time for Real or Fake Cancel Culture. The game where you decide if the cancel culture is real or fake.
I really appreciate the horn section. I just want a random horn section. Just randomly, just chilling, you know? And then like we could, you know, gear it up like old ska band style. Just, you know, just for when we're doing stuff. So, is this real or is this fake? You get to decide. Here is the story or not story.
It's never easy.
A 29-year-old law student who said that, and I'm reading this headline, it is news, and these are clinical terms, so let's not, you know, stop. A law student, I mean, it may be news, it may not be news. I could be totally just messing around with you and baiting you. You don't know.
That's enough. Go ahead.
29-year-old law student who said women have vaginas faces disciplinary action by their university. The student said that women have women parts and that there is a difference in the strength between men and women. And they stated that as though it was a fact. And this student was disciplined by their university. Real or not real?
Do we have a Jeopardy thinking music for this? Because I think that's necessary.
Even kind of spooky music.
I got to tell you, though, this is science. So what the kid is saying, this 29-year-old you're talking about, he is not wrong. He is actually scientifically correct. So I'm going to say this has to be fake. I mean, what university would shove somebody out for stating scientific fact? I just don't see it happening. I don't know.
So you say it's fake.
I say it's fake.
Rachel, are you in or are you out?
Nothing surprises me. I say it's real.
Real. Juan?
Real.
Real? You say those two real, fake. We'll tell you who Juan is here soon.
All by myself.
Steve, what about you? Real or fake?
Aren't these all real?
Man.
No, Steve. No, they're not all real. My Keebler elf story wasn't real. You thought it was, though. And?
Wait, the Keebler elves real or fake? Real?
No, like the one where they, like, I said that that people who were, you know, they were upset because it was a vertically challenged stereotype.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Real or fake, Steve?
Real.
Okay. And Kane is wrong because you all are correct. Yes. But it is a woman. That's what gets me. It's 29-year-old Lisa Keough. She's a female student. She studies at Abertay University in Dundee. Sounds like it's Australian.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife. That's also apropos here. She said that women have lady business. They have female copulatory organs, and that now she faces disciplinary action by the university. And she is in her final year. Why do they say it like this? They go, the mature student. She's 29. The mature student.
It's not a Biden kid.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like she's more mature than everybody else and not dumb. Or they're trying to say that she's at 29, older than most students. I don't know. For the love. So they say she's in her final year. She's now facing a formal investigation by the university for the alleged offensive and discriminatory comments. Sidebar, she has great eyebrows. It's not important to the story, but it is to me. So, yeah, 29 years old. And she says that, well, now not just she, but the university says that she has, now she's going to be investigated because they said it's offensive and discriminatory. And she just said, women who are taking like testosterone, et cetera, to, you know, for competitive advantages that, you know, it makes them, you know, stronger. And then she was talking about men going through biological puberty and bone mass and muscle, our bone density and muscle mass. And she told the Times, which is a British publication, she said, I thought it was a joke. I thought there was no way that the university would pursue me for utilizing my legal right to freedom of speech. Now, She was muted because apparently this was like online that this happened. She was muted by her lecturer. And then they say it again, the mature student was met. Like, why are you keep calling her this? I'm going to slap some people. The mature student was met with a flurry of abuse from her classmates. Now, she says, I didn't intend to be offensive, but, you know, it was like an in-class debate for the purpose of debating. And she said, these are my views. Not only are they your views, but it is also a fact. Now, she has two children and she's worried that she may not be able to become a lawyer now because she said this. In a debate in class, in a university setting where debates are supposed to be free exercises and exchanges of ideas. And even, this means you can't even do devil's advocate to engage in a discussion anymore. I mean, this is where you should be able at a university to discuss whatever, the most controversial, all of it. And now the fact that she's being targeted because she goes, I wasn't being mean, transphobic, or offensive. I was stating a basic and biological fact. I think that this is sexist, what's happening to her.
Yeah.
Because you're telling a woman that she cannot talk about her own sex and talk about the science as it relates to her own physiology. That's sexist if you want to have a discussion about sexism within this patriarchal construct, because that's exactly what it is. You're just in disbelief.
I just can't believe it. I'm like, anybody who paid to go to that university, I'd be wanting my money back, like right now. And then I want to know where they get their funding. It can't just be from students. It's got to be from some sort of governmental agency. They clearly are not about science. They're clearly not about truth. They're clearly not about learning. They're trying to teach a whole new generation of woke people.
Well, and at this university, there was a lecturer, Dr. Ava Poen, who was, they went after her because she was said that only females can have menstruation cycles. And they went after her. But the lecturer muted her when she said that. Oh, my gosh. I feel so bad for college kids today. When I was in college, it was a free for all. In class, you could debate whatever you wanted to debate. You could bring up whatever you wanted to bring up. And you could have like a legitimate, not for the purpose of shock, but for a legitimate discussion and exchange of ideas. Where are people going to learn how to be? This is why people can't civilly disagree with each other anymore, because they don't even allow the exercise of it on college campuses or anywhere else, which should be the places that are most protected for this sort of thought experimentation, for the contrast of ideas, learning how to live and coexist with people of different beliefs. And just because somebody says something that, you know, you may disagree with, it should not trigger a cancel culture. Like, I mean, this is insane.
She's not saying anything different than any other scientific journals that are out there, any other medical journals that are out there.
Oh, don't tempt these people to start going back and editing those books. What is wrong with you?
They won't go that far. Will they go that far?
Are you serious?
They would go that far to ignore science.
Mm-hmm.
The party of science will go that far.
My young son said that in their class, that in one of their history books, it referred to Hitler as practicing capitalism. And my son took such exception to that in class that I got an email about it from the teacher. But the teacher thought it was ridiculous, but that's the book that they had. And so the teacher does not even use the book anymore. They have it because that's what it is, but they don't even use it. And my oldest son, who's in college and he's actually studying poli sci, he wants to go into law. He was muted by a lecturer. He was muted by one of their professors in their discussions. And it was over Israeli politics, because it was geopolitical. It was a geopolitical examination and it had to do with Israeli politics. And he was muted because he was taking exception actually to something that was said about Hamas. And he just like went and they is muted. But he's like, I still kept talking. Not even. So
I'm just curious what the university teaches in that regard, in biology. Like, what would the university teach in biology? That women are, what, like broccoli stalks? Like, what are we talking about here?
Why are people, because they use that slur called TERF, that's what they call J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling's a straight up, like, super far left socialist. She is as far left, you know, socially, economically, even though she benefited from capitalism. I mean, that's who made her capitalism. She, you know, as you could be. And she came out and just simply said that, you know, there's, you know, woman is a word and it exists. And that is an actual, you know, we should recognize this gender. And they've been trying to cancel it. They called her a TERF, which is trans exclusionary reactionary feminist. And it's a slur. It's a sexist slur. And that's, I don't understand why it's considered transphobia to just be like, nuh-uh, women exist. And biologically, only women have menstrual cycles. That's not phobia of anything. That is, that, why are people biologically phobic?
And who's offended by that simple statement? Who's offended by that?
People act like they get paid in being offended. Have you noticed this?
I think some people.
What, I haven't been offended by anything today. I need to find something to get offended by. What am I going to be offended by? I can't.
Exactly.
There was this, I wanted to touch really quickly. There was this study from Pew, and I was looking at it, and I thought, this is kind of weird. It's on, they said national identity is becoming more inclusive in the United States and Western Europe. Large ideological divides persist on views of tradition, national pride, and I think that this is actually kind of a goofy survey. But why is the, it sort of seems like the intimation that national identity should be less important is, was the goal of what they were wanting to achieve with this. Because assimilation went from being a priority because everybody wanted, you know, assimilating into being American. And that now it's considered a racist concept. And I always tell people, you know, you can't move to France and become French, and you can't move to Greece and become Greek, and you can't move to Germany and be German, and you can't move to France and be French, but you can move to the United States and become American. And that's because the national identity of America is liberty. That's what these people refuse, that Pew and all these others that run with this. The national identity is the recognition of liberty. That is the national identity. And I think that especially when you have leftist narratives that push opposite, I think they don't want that because it's such a wide common ground. They don't want that. That's dangerous to the principles of totalitarianism. But the other thing is, you remember when Game of Thrones ended? And I know we got to wrap, but do you remember when Game of Thrones was over? And I said, I think that's the last water cooler conversation. Because that seemed to be the last cultural touch point that everybody had sort of in common. Because there was the old kind of example of people gathering around the water cooler on Monday talking about, you know, either the game or you know, whatever show everybody watched. Because everybody used to have kind of this common cultural, like pop cultural society, you know, like social culture language, like with what we watched and the books that we read and all of this stuff, like what we consumed in terms of pop culture. And now that's like everything, even entertainment, everything is tribalized now, politically tribalized. There isn't that common pop culture anymore. There isn't that uniting topic that people would, you know, get together and be able, you know, the one random thing that you could throw out, like, oh, did you watch whatever? Or have you read whatever? Or did you see that? You don't have that conversation starter anymore. Literally all we have is the weather. That's it. It's kind of, that's sad.
I did talk to my son about what I binged the other day.
What'd
you binge? That was it. You know, that was, I found some old episodes of House. You remember that old medical show, House?
I never watched that.
You never watched that? Mm-mm. I used to love that show. But I binged a bunch of those the other day. And that's literally, you're right. There's nothing that actually ties the whole of society together in regards to that conversation.
I've been watching Jack Stauber videos. That's what I've been binging.
Really?
Yeah, I sent you guys the link to the shop opera. Yeah, I'm a little late to that one. Whatever.
The Biden border lies continue, and the left gets very ugly towards Israel. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I share what I saw this week along the U.S.-Mexico border. California Congressman Mike Garcia joins me to explain how the border crisis is spreading further into the country. And I expose how hatred for Israel is now commonplace in the Democratic Party. These are hugely important issues, and our government is getting them wrong. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, all right here. So where to start? There was this is Tampa Bay. There was a man, Florida man, who decided that he was going to try to carjack somebody with a samurai sword. A resident awoke to find a burglar in his home with his samurai sword in one hand and his truck keys in the other. This was in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it was linked to an armed burglary carjacking. This guy left his cell phone behind at the scene, I guess because he had his hands full of truck keys and samurai sword. So he left his cell phone behind. Police said that at 7:45 on April 20th, a man who lives in the home went to his living room because he works from home, 7:45 in the morning. He noticed his laptop was gone, and then he looked up and saw a dude right in the kitchen, and he had the burglar had stolen the guy's replica samurai sword. He had it in one hand and the guy's truck keys in the other. The burglar then ordered him to pick up a clothes hamper filled with stolen items, told him to bring it out to the truck. The victim did his order and the burglar left. The guy called the police, and then they found out that they had a cell phone, that he left his cell phone behind. They obtained a search warrant and found several photos and videos of the guy on the phone. I'm going to say, just sidebar to this, if you're a burglar and you leave a cell phone in my home, then you ain't a guy no getting a search warrant for that. Okay, that's a consequence of being a stupid criminal. They figured out that the phone belonged to Damian Grady, 24, of St. Petersburg, and they found the sword. It had his fingerprints all over it, and he is charged with, so many crimes. Burglary, carjacking, resisting arrest, all kinds of drug charges. And his bail is set at $150,000. He's still in the popo. He's still in jail. He's in the pokey. That's where he is. Let's see here. I got a couple of others. A Florida man was arrested after climbing onto a signal pole in South Beach, Florida. In Miami Beach, a Florida man climbed on top of a traffic light pole, according to the Miami Herald. Todd Fitzroy Booth, that's the fanciest name I've ever heard, of Miramar, 29. He inched along the structure while dangling his legs astride the pole. It was a very, very busy South Beach Entertainment District. He was charged with misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct, and he resisted an officer without violence. People were tweeting it with hashtag Because Miami.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.